Welcome to the study of God's Word with pastor and author Steve Mays, recorded at Calvary Chapel South Bay in Gardena, California. To learn more about the many resources available through Light of the Word, visit us online at lightoftheword.org or request a copy of our latest catalog at 1-800-339-WISE. And now, here's Pastor Steve to take us into our study.
This morning, I want to draw your attention to two verses in chapter 3 and verses 7 through 8. In chapter 3, verses 7 through 8, and I want to start in chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, and then jump over to chapter 3, 7 and 8, and I'll explain why. If you're taking notes, you can just jot down today. Today is the key note this morning. It says in Hebrews, in chapter 1, verse 1 through 3, God who at sundry times in divers manner spoke, in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. So before Christ came, he spoke by the prophets, and spoke the word of God through them, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heirs of all things, by whom also he made the world. So in these last days Christ came, he is God's messenger, he is now the one who has made the heavens and the earth, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of majesty on high. So the final authority is come through the Son of God. There upon the cross 2,000 years ago, he was willing to love you and to show you and express it. And so he stands before us as the majestic God, the great Redeemer of our life. And this morning in Hebrews 3, 7 through 8, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation. The word provocation means bitterness. Harden not your heart as in the bitterness in the day of temptation in the wilderness. So because of their bitterness, because of their resentfulness against God, because they couldn't keep their eyes upon the goodness and the grace of God in their life, they had to attack somebody. And so they attacked Moses, and they attacked Aaron, and they, of course, attacked God. And it says of the children of Israel that they constantly murmured. It says all the nation, every single one, murmured in their tent, complaining. And they chided with God, and they chided with Moses. And finally, Moses came to a point, and he said, God, I don't want these people anymore. And then, of course, God said, I don't want them either. And then Moses said, you made them, you have to take them. And God said, okay. And no one really wanted these rebellious, stubborn people. But it's interesting to me, it never had to be this way. It was because they left the living God. They chose not to look to God, not to turn to God. And that is so prevalent in our society. We see pain, and we see suffering, and we are so quick to blame God for everything in our life. And one of the great things about this book is we really need to get a hold of it. Because in chapter 3, it talks about the second great warning. The warning about doubting God's provision, God's goodness in your life. In chapter 2, it was about doubting because we drifting away that slow leak we looked at last week. But this morning, about doubting, just the power of God to work things out in your life, giving God an opportunity, looking, listening, worshiping the Lord. It's so easy to complain and gripe and murmur and become bitter. But the problem is that we often forget is that when I think I'm not really doing anything wrong, I am now hardening my heart against God. And every time that I complain, murmur, gripe, or begin to get angry because of the situation I'm in, my heart gets hard. And the crazy thing about it is I am convinced that my sin nature, your sin nature, is bent towards sin. Our sin nature is not bent towards God. If we can sin and get away with it, we'll do it. If we can get away from God, we'll do it. But when it comes down to really being partakers of that divine nature, it means that we reckon the old man and we head towards the kingdom of God. So it takes tremendous strength. And when you are crisscrossed in your mind, double-minded, unwavering, it's really hard not to get bitter and kind of serve God. Eventually, the bitterness will take you out every single time because you don't have the strength to overcome it. And so he says here, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice. And God is saying today, today is the word of the Lord. Tomorrow is the word of the devil. Today is the day that God wants to speak. And here's the exhortation. Harden not your heart as in the bitterness in the wilderness when they were tempted. So harden not your heart against the word of God. In other words, learn to go to that Bible no matter what you're going through in your life. And make sure that you never harden your heart to the Spirit of the living God, because He will lead you and guide you with your conscience and with others and with the Word, and God will speak to your heart, and it needs to be tender to hear the voice of God. And once again, make sure that you hearken to the voice of Christ, the suffering, the agony, understanding what you're going through. He is that one who's able to be that faithful high priest. So you have Christ in your heart to help you be that priest, to understand the agony and the weakness of your own flesh. You have the Holy Spirit to give you the power inside to turn your heart towards God. And you have God Himself who has promised to give you the promised land. We have everything we need. We need to make the choice deep in our own heart. But Israel rejected. There's one verse I'd like you to put in your Bible in the corner of your top of the right-hand corner of your page at the introduction. And this verse is one that you need to remember, memorize for the rest of your life. Very simple, tucked away in the book of Deuteronomy. And it says in Deuteronomy 6:23, He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in, to give us a land which He swore unto our fathers. And that says everything about our whole Christian walk. He brought us out of the world, that He might what? Bring us into Christ. He brought them out of Egypt, that He might bring them into Canaan. But the problem is what we know the history of Israel. They came out of Egypt, but they never went into Canaan. They got stuck halfway at the wilderness. And sometimes we've come out of our sin, but we never walk in that victorious living because we are stuck in this carnal life thinking that God has something else for us. And I think it's important, the devastating effect of unbelief. Notice in your Bible, it says in Hebrews 3:12, Take heed, brethren, lest at any time in you there be an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And you would think that we would turn to God. But I want to challenge you that when things happen in our life, we turn away from God. When situations go wrong, we blame God. When businesses go under, we challenge God. When divorces happen, we can't believe that God doesn't love us. When our children die, we are so furious with God. But everything can be explained. We haven't looked to God in our business. We were born in sin, shapen in iniquity because Adam sinned. And our marriage fell apart because we didn't die. Once again, being that example. There are so many examples that it's not God, it's me. I won't look to God, and because I won't look to God, He's not a living God. He's just a God, but He's a living God. And the Bible says His Word is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, able to discern between the joint and the marrow, able to give me the Word of the Lord in my life. And then He says in Hebrews 3:19, So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. This is interesting. You see, that bitter heart becomes unbelieving, and when I'm unbelieving, then I begin to walk away from God. Number two, I don't really experience the blessings of God in verse 19. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, For unto us was the gospel preached, as unto them. Now, check this out in chapter 4, verse 2. But the word preached this morning did not profit them. Why? Not being mixed with faith in that they heard it. So if there's an unbelieving heart and you're not listening and willing to step out in faith, you're just going to hear another sermon. Hope it's good. But if you listen, then God can turn this water into wine and it can change your whole life. So I need to mix the Word of God in my life. If I don't, it's just another Bible study. You know, I've got to share this one story. And it's so important. And you probably heard it before. You've heard me share it. But I can think of nothing better than to tell you exactly where Israel was at. And we're going to look at this tonight. You remember the story I told you some years ago about the military guys hiring the little Korean boy to do their cooking. And so the Korean boy got up, and first thing in the morning he went to grab his shoes, and these military guys nailed the shoe into the ground. And so the boy just kind of got up and pulled the nails out and put his shoes on, had two holes through his shoes, and went in and fixed him breakfast. And I'm listening to this story, and it's really beginning to get to my heart. And the reason why, we were at the other church. And I asked for some of the brothers to help me in the plumbing, because we had a plumbing problem after third service. And so I came back down after I taught, and I jumped in the hole, but no one came. And so I was in the hole, definitely preordained by God. And boy, God really heard how I felt. I can't believe this church. I don't believe the guys. You know, what are they doing? I'm down here trying to fix this, on and on and on. And so I killed every man in that church in my heart. And so I finally climbed out of that hole. I was 15 feet under the ground. I was muddy, dirty. I had to go home, take a shower, come back and teach Sunday night. And boy, I was really, I'm going to let them have it. And on the way home, I heard this story. And I thought, wow, that little Korean boy, he just popped the nails out, kept on going. Oh, God, change my heart. Please, God, change my heart. Next day, the little boy got up and he went to grab the knobs of the stove, and there was Vaseline all over it, and it was just gross. And so he went and got a rag and cleaned everything, Windexed everything, and cleaned his hands and fixed a wonderful lunch. And my heart's beginning to really say, oh God, forgive me. Let me have my church. Don't take it away. I didn't mean to complain. I love those guys. They don't need to ever come. And so I'm going down the street a little bit further on the 405 right here by Avalon. Tears beginning to run down my eyes. And the next day, the Marines woke up and put oil over his door of flour, and the little Korean boy walked out and dumped oil and flour, and he was a mess. So he had to mop the floor and take a shower, and he fixed him a phenomenal dinner. And so the next day, the little Korean boy got together with the military men, and they said, listen, we're not going to nail your shoes to the ground, and we're not going to put Vaseline on the knobs, and we're not going to put oil on your head. He got really excited. My heart's just dying. I'm crying. Tears are running. God, forgive me for my nasty attitude. The little Korean boy said, okay, now let me understand this. You're not going to nail my, no more Nelly shoe to the ground? Nope. No more Vaseline on the knob? Nope. No more oily on the head? Nope. And he looked right in their eyes and he said, then no more spitting in the soup. And I just pulled off the freeway. I was on the 405. I went right off. I didn't go off the freeway. I went up on the ivy, and I just broke. And God says, Stephen, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I've taken you out of the gutter, but I'm going to tell you, you're a senior pastor, and all you do is spit in the soup. And God so dealt with my heart about this chip, about this attitude. And some of us, most of us, maybe all of us, spit in the soup. We need to listen, because the blessings of God are hindered. We spend more time complaining, criticizing, judging, messing around, rather than conquering the thing that God wants. We destroy marriages and destroy families and destroy churches because all we do is spit. And we need to learn to worship. We need to learn to let it go, to be content, to see what God has. And so four things I want to share with you quickly this morning. Number one, very simply, first of all, hearing His Word. Hearing His Word. And secondly, believing His Word. Believing His Word. And number three, obeying His Word. Obeying His Word. And number four, sharing His Word. Sharing His Word. You know, you can define the wilderness experience by unrest, by constant striving, by always uptight. And you could define the life of Canaan by joy, the milk of honey, and the blessings of God in your life. And so this is what God said about this generation. Number one, very simply, hearing His Word. Notice in chapter 3, verse 7, wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear His voice. If you will hear His voice. Now look down to verse 15. While it is said today, if you will what? Hear His voice. Let's say that together. Hear His voice. Harden not your heart as in the day of bitterness. Interesting. In other words, if you are hearing God's Word, your heart cannot get hard. It's when you're not hearing God's heart and you're seeing people or you're seeing circumstances that your heart becomes hardened. Seeing the Word of God, hearing the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, then we are to be content in all things that God has given to us. And then in Hebrews 4:7, one chapter over, again he limited a certain day, saying in David, today after so long a time as it is said, today if you will what? Hear his voice. What is the number one problem in our life as Christians? Not hearing the voice of God. Now, is it because we don't want to? No. Is it because we're too busy? Yes. We're preoccupied. We don't train our heart to be quiet before God. Now, let me express what I'm saying. You can be busy, there can be shouting going on, but you can be tuned in to hear the voice of God. Sometimes you just can't go to the mountains and really wait on God, or you can't find that quiet time, but God's voice will explode in your heart if you are loving His voice. You say, well, Steve, I haven't heard His voice. Well, then go home, open your Bible, read it out loud. You have heard the voice of God. It's so cool. My wife told me that, Stephen. Go read the Bible out loud. And so when I read the Bible out loud, it is the voice of God speaking to me. And I'll tell you what happens. One moment is all it takes. It was Martin Luther. One verse changed and brought the Reformation, the just shall live by faith. It was your own pastor in bed at 11 o'clock at night, coming home from an airplane ride with Pastor Chuck. I was so tired, turned off the light, and the Lord said, turn the light on. And I opened up to Isaiah 55, and God said, go across the street. I'll bless you on both sides. And that was the verse that God gave me to build this place. And not to worry about it. Did I worry? Yeah. But did I know that God spoke? Yes. In other words, one moment where God would say to you, listen, this is my will. Okay, I can handle that. I can do it. But because we don't hear His voice, because all we see is what goes on in our life around, we hear ourselves and we begin to second guess ourselves. We're constantly wavering back and forth. Listen. You need to hear the voice of God. You need to read until God convinces you. You need to be strong in the Lord. If you could do that, your homes would change and society would change, but there'd be boldness. And so we don't do that often. And then we see hearing the voice of God. The Bible says that His voice will shatter the trees of Lebanon. In other words, His voice will destroy things. The Bible says His voice will destroy the Antichrist. And then the Bible says His voice will shake the wilderness. In other words, His voice is your only hope. You can't get out of the wilderness. You can't get out of the trees. You can't get out of your life. God has to speak. My sheep, they know my voice. We listen to the devil. We talk about the devil. We share the problems of the devil. I can't believe this is going on. All these things are against me. God says, all these things are for you, period. You got to trust Him. They wouldn't do that. They wouldn't hear the voice. And so they talked to each other. They came against Moses. We want to go back and suck onions. We hate it out here. Why did you bring us out here to die? God said, I'm going to deliver you. They forgot the voice of God. Number two, they believed His word, or believing His word. Number one, hearing His word. But number two, believing His word. In other words, Israel rejected God's ways. Notice in verse 8, it says, harden not your heart. Underline that, would you? Harden not your heart. That means it's a choice. That is so cool. In other words, no one can harden your heart. Your kids can't harden your heart. Your wife can't even harden your heart. Job can't even harden your heart. You choose to harden your own heart. This is a decision because I choose not to listen to God, but to listen to everybody else. I choose to have a hard heart. And what happens? You get old, you get nasty, you get mean. You see, you need to be tender and gentle. Everything from above is first pure. Everything from underneath is devilish. I need to, once again, not harden my heart. As in the day of bitterness, in verse 8. In the temptation of the wilderness. And that gives me a little insight. You see, temptation oftentimes turns me away from God. God, you took my boyfriend. I'm mad at you. Lord, you took my car away. I'm really mad. Well, put oil in the car. He didn't take it away. You blew your engine up. Well, no, he took it. No. Go down to, Pep Boys and buy some oil, you lazy bum. Put some oil in that thing. Check it. Well, I just thought, you know, I got a car that runs. No, you don't. You got to check the oil. You're a steward of the things of God. The things are blown apart, falling apart, because you're not a steward of God. God gets blamed for everything. And He hasn't done anything but bless us. I really want God to change this thing in my heart, in my life. Notice in verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart. Uh-oh. Verse 8, hardened heart. Uh-oh. Evil heart. Getting worse. Getting worse. Oh, that's my husband. Speak. Pastor, speak. You're speaking right to him. You had a hard heart. Now you got an evil heart. What happened? I won't look to God, won't listen to God, won't hear His voice. I'll go to Pastor Steve and listen to him. That's it. I'm not going to open my Bible. Well, then it's not going to change. See, the possibility of listening without mingling with faith is just a good show. This is a good show on Sunday morning, right here. You know, and nothing happens. You just walk out, okay, I'm stirred. Now, where's that joint? Verse 12, take heed, brethren. The evil heart of unbelief and, departing from a living God. Living God. And then notice in chapter 3, verse 13, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, if any of you be hardened through deceitfulness of sin. Well, what's that mean? Well, say you're living together, not married. Well, that's fornication. Well, okay. Well, no, that means you're going to hell. Oh, no, no, no. Well, the Bible says fornicators will not enter the kingdom of God. Why, that's your opinion. No, no, no. That's the deceitfulness of sin. You're blinded. The truth, this is the truth. So, the sin is deceived because I'm not listening to the voice of God. God says, don't be unequally yoked. God says, don't do that. Now we justify. Well, that's your interpretation. Well, when you get to heaven, I don't see you there, you know. See who's right. But if you were in your right mind, up here, hey, can't do that. But in it, oh boy, is she pretty. I can get away with this. There's a deceitfulness of sin. And that can happen in a lot of areas. And then notice in 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart in bitterness. Now I want to say to you is, unbelief will harden your heart and you won't believe. And therefore, you cannot experience the goodness of God. You got to be careful. How do I do that? You hear His voice. You believe His word. Number 3, obey His word. Notice the danger of not receiving His word. In Hebrews 3:10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation. And the word grieved means I was disappointed. Or we would say in our language, ticked off. In other words, millions died. Anybody say how bad it is? This generation perished. Only 2 made it in. Now, wait a second. What about Moses? He didn't make it in. Well, why didn't Moses make it in? He was disobedient. Oh, no, Pastor Steve. He led these people through the wilderness for 40 years. What are you talking about? He is our hero. Listen, he was disobedient. God said, speak to the rock. He went and beat the rock. God said, come here. What? You're out. What? Doesn't make a difference, Moses. I told you, you chose not to believe, you're not going in. Yes, he got in through the Mount Transfiguration. Elijah and Moses was there talking to Christ. Peter, James, and John saw him, but he didn't go in. Neither did this generation go in. So probably over a couple million people did not go in. I mean, 600,000 we know for sure, just men, but 2 did. So the possibility here of how many are really taking God at His word is frightening. They say the average church, 90% of people don't read their Bible and 70% of the people don't give. That means basically we got a bunch of carnal people. So we got to prime them up on Sunday morning in good worship to get you going. Because you've been listening to Canned Heat and Led Zeppelin and all the hip hop and everything else, but come back, oh man, yeah, I'm a Christian, okay. Praise the Lord. Okay. Come on, Kevin, get that well. Oh, yeah, wow, okay. It's coming. It's over. Now the song's over. We just got started. Well, you should have started right off the bat. Right out of the thing. I'm on fire for Jesus Christ. And then we don't give. We don't trust. So, well, do I give on my gross or my net? Do you want to be blessed on your gross? You've been blessed on your net. Has nothing to do with that. It's like letting it go. That's the problem. God says, you don't let it go, you're going to have holes in your pocket. You let it go, you're going to have everything.
Yeah, right.
Well, do you have anything? No? You hang on to it? Yep. Talk to some people who give. They got everything. You see, it's just the way to, gotta believe. And so, thirdly, obey His voice. And notice in 3:16, for some when they heard did provoke, howbeit they came out of Egypt by Moses. In other words, they just rebelled. You know, it's a tragic thing so often in our life. We come to a point that we have a hard time hearing God. And then secondly, we have a hard time believing. And boy, then it becomes tough to really obey. And you see the consequences of unbelief. You see the pain of unbelief. And it's amazing how strong we are. I can walk through this wilderness for 40 years, no shoes on. Man, I'm tough. Eat manna, suck manna pudding, manna malts, manna cookies, manna Tupperware, manna this, manna that. You know? But what do you get? Sand in your eyes and teeth. But this is not the milk and honey. Right over here. What do I have to do? You got to die. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. And lastly, sharing His word. Notice in verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you harden through the deceitfulness of sin. And I like this. I like ending right here. Because what it means is that every day, now check this out, every day I am to exhort you. Uh-oh. No, listen to what the word exhort means. It means to comfort. The best scenario of the word means that if you see a runner, marathon runner, running down the street, and he's gasping for water and tired, you grab a cup of water, run next to him, and tell him he can finish the race and hand him a cup of water. That's what it means. You see, we get discouraged. We get bummed out. We want to quit. But every day, can you imagine doing that? Just doing that one thing. Every day, you encourage your kids. Every day, you encourage your spouse. Every day, you encourage somebody in the ministry. And before you walk out today, you encourage somebody that they can make it. If that would happen, we'd never get hard. We get hard because of unbelief. We don't hear His voice. We don't believe what He's saying. We don't obey the things He says. And then we don't even share what He's asking us to share. We just keep it to ourselves. Woe is me. I'm going through it. The whole world's dying, going to hell. I need to get outside of myself and be a blessing. I need to encourage you. Hey, you're going to make it. I need to hear His voice. Well, I'm going to blame my husband. You can blame him all you want. You might have a ding-a-ling husband. I hope my wife isn't saying, yeah, I sure do. You might have a real problem with your children. It doesn't make a difference what you got. You might have a real difficult problem at work. So? I guarantee this. You look in that, you're never going to have peace. You're going to be unhappy, unrestful. Your heart's going to get hardened, bitter. You're not going to sense the presence of God. But the deceitfulness of sin tells you, I'm being blessed by God. You're not being blessed by God. Because you're not even given. Or you can hear His voice. Find out what He wants. You can obey it. And you can begin to encourage everybody. And you see, that's where it's at. Canaan, it's all about me. Wilderness, me. Canaan, you. Spiritual life, it's all about you. Carnal life, all about me. That's real simple. Who do I think about? Who do I want to take care of? What do I want to do? Me. Carnal. The moment you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, out of your belly shall come forth a torrent of living water. Everyone's blessed. God help us to hear His voice. Not to miss that voice today. Lord, bring me back to Your voice.
Are you looking for a church home? One that has something for you, your spouse, and your kids? Well, that's what you'll find at Calvary Chapel South Bay in the city of Gardena. With dozens of ways to get involved, you're sure to find a good fit for everyone in your family. Go to our website and click on the link titled Ministries and learn about some of the ways you can put your faith into action. Better yet, join us this Sunday morning for worship at 8, 9:45, or 11:30. We're located at the corner of Vermont and Knox in Gardena. Need more info? Give us a call at 310-352-3333. That's 310-352-3333. Or find us online at ccsouthbay.org. Calvary Chapel South Bay, the place for you and your family.